Greetings, Internet, and welcome to episode 12 of Getting Work to Work, a weekly podcast for creative professionals looking to overcome the barriers that prevent them from doing the work they were born to do. You might notice that this episode is releasing a little bit earlier than normal, and that's because episode 12 is a special episode featuring an interview with filmmaker Ben Coppin. I met Ben several years ago on the shoot for his horror film Made Me Do It. I've had a chance to work with him on another documentary and his website and some other things. And I must say that this conversation that I had with Ben was not only inspiring, but it was just fascinating to see how he gets his work to work. We talked about everything from zombies to redemption to just getting work done. And I hope that you enjoy this interview with filmmaker Ben Coppin. So welcome to Getting Work to Work. Why don't we start with just you sharing a little bit about what you do, Ben?
Cool. My name's Ben Coppin, and I'm a director, producer, writer, editor, everything you need out here in L.A. Yeah, I just my whole goal is to make feature films and kind of get that off the ground, and then it's working the day job in order to do that. When I went to film school out here in California, and then right out of film school, I got a job at a horror channel called FearNet, where I worked as like an editor, producer. And so I got to just see like the corporate side of things, and I got to see how like rushed and fast-paced and it's constantly churning out content because this is an industry that just is always needing content. And so it's just very interesting like doing that. I worked at that job for 4 or 5 years. And during that time, my wife and brother and I created a little company and decided that we wanted to like do feature films through that company. And so we've made 3 feature films through that company. It's called Ironside Productions. We've made two documentaries and 1 feature horror film that we're just now wrapping up. So yeah, that's where we're at, where I'm at right now.
You do a lot of everything that you do. What do you love most?
Definitely the directing side and the writing side. I think when I can kind of just dive into a story and create characters, like with my first feature film, for instance, it was just a great, my first narrative feature film. It was a great experience just like instead of having to try to fit a whole story arc within, 15 pages, like you had 90 pages in order to actually like get to know these characters and figure out who they are. And I think as like on the writing side, it's just great to spend that time with your characters and kind of figure out what their voice is and what their motivations are. And then I love being able to take that script and then bring it to a set of actors and kind of collaborate as a director. Like what I love about writing and directing is it's like, I don't know, I feel like I have more of a power to like, okay, let's tweak things or let's change things to what you feel like it's going to be or what you're feeling like this character should say. And so I love like having that power of being the writer and then being able to kind of put it within the directing production setting and kind of alter it as need be to fit the scene and the setting and the actors that we have.
That's awesome. So you mentioned collaboration. So on one hand, in writing, you have kind of the power of creating this world, creating this character. But then in directing, it's all about collaboration. How did you learn to collaborate with other people?
I think it's still a process that I'm learning and working through and trying to figure out. There's definitely like, we shot the horror film's called Made Me Do It, and we shot that 2.5 years ago. And since then, we've just been in post and working on it. But since then, I feel like even doing the shorter pieces, I've learned how to collaborate even better. But I think there's this whole thing about how if you want to be an artist that just has your one single voice, then go be a painter. But if you want to be an artist that collaborates with people and tries to bring out the best in everyone around them, on everyone around you, then that's where you get to be a filmmaker, and that's what filmmaking is. And so even like with the cinematography, there's things that I wouldn't have thought of. Like we brought on one of my film school buddies, Nathan, as the DP on our film, and I've worked with him on a ton of projects, and it's really cool just to like, I'll kind of vomit my like inspiration and what I'm hoping this thing will look like to him, and then he'll be able to translate that then through kind of his lens and his eyes of how can we bring that texture and bring that those different influences into the film that we're making. And then even with actors, I just love this idea of, I don't know, you write it on a piece of paper and then you hand it off to someone and they make it real. It's like until someone takes that piece of paper and like makes that character or that scene a reality, to me it just doesn't seem very like, it just doesn't seem real yet. And so there was like we had an actor on Made Me Do It that was a coworker of mine at FearNet, where we were both editors there, and he had acted in just a few things before he did this film, just like small stuff, like goofy short films with friends, and like I think one play in high school. And he was just always really animated in the office, and he had like a couple of weird mannerisms that he would do things just in the office. And so I saw him, and I was like, this guy would be great as the lead character in our film. It's kind of this like antagonist that also like you have sympathy for, and he's kind of wrestling with kind of the dark things that he's doing. And I just remember being on set and allowing him just to kind of like run with those scenes, like some of these scenes. And we just had all of our crew just what came to us, and they were like, man, that Kyle guy, he's like amazing. Like he did such a great job. And we're like, dude, he hasn't acted ever. Like he hasn't really ever acted, but he dove into this performance and found these characters he was playing. And just every time he was on the screen, I was just like smiling from ear to ear because of like what he was able to pull out of this text that I'd written.
So you mention a lot of different emotions as you're making this film, but what is it really like to make a feature film?
It's painful. I think is the best. It's so different than making short films or music videos, because it's definitely a marathon, not a sprint. And honestly, like when we wrap production on the film, it like made me have so much more respect for even the bad filmmakers out there. Like I just feel like I feel like when you come out of film school, sometimes you can have kind of a snotty, arrogant attitude, and you can look at other people's films and be like, oh man, that sucks or that's crap. But I feel like once you actually make a feature film and you see how much work and time goes into it, you can't have that opinion anymore, because it's like, well, okay, that film may not be the best, but they sure tried, or someone worked really hard to make that happen. And I feel like coming through it on the other side, like we just wrapped sound, I want to say on Monday, and it's like coming out on the other side now, like at least getting close to that, you know, finish line. It's like when you look at a film that has good sound, you know, decent editing, decent shots, like it flows, like I can't just sit there and be like, well, that movie sucks anymore. Because like for instance, this is a good example. My mom loves Adam Sandler movies, like Grown Ups and Grown Ups 2. I think those are terrible movies. I'm not a fan of those at all. I think it's not my thing. But it's like now watching those, I'm like, man, like someone had to set up the camera for that shot, and someone had to do this for this, and someone had to make that happen. And it's just like you sort of have like less of a like an opinionated stance on everything, because you're like, man, they really worked to make that happen. So that's one thing that it's just like it's kind of humbled me a lot. And I've learned, I feel like, that a feature film is going to take, you know, at least 2 years of your life. And so before like jumping into a film, you really need to, like in the beginning stages of pre-production and writing, you really need to make sure that this is a story that you're willing to sacrifice 2 years of your life on. And like even with Made Me Do It, it's like we kind of rushed the script together, and I'm still really proud of the final result, but it's like looking back on it, I'm like, man, I wish we'd spent like those extra like couple of months just like tweaking the script and getting exactly where we needed to be and planning out maybe that location a little bit better. So it's just like, from a short film to going to a feature, there's just so many things that you learn that you would just never like learn doing the short content. Because it's like, even like we had 20 days of shooting, and even the idea of 20 days of production, it's pretty like heavy on you as the director and as the filmmaker to like, okay, we're doing this day. What was the emotion and the shots I wanted that? Or we're doing this day. What did I want to do here? Because it's just like you're constantly moving. And so it's pretty painful, but it's also like very exhilarating in the end.
When did you know you wanted to be a filmmaker? Was it just something that came into your mind one day, or were you addicted to movies as a kid? I mean, what was that spark to make you a filmmaker and go through this painful process of making feature films and all that goes into it?
Right, yeah. I know when I was little, my dad showed me Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark. And I remember just absolutely falling in love with that movie. And because of that movie, I wanted to be an archaeologist and I wanted to fight Nazis. But Nazis aren't around anymore, so in the same way. So I realized I couldn't be an Indiana Jones archaeologist. So I was like, well, what is this feeling I'm getting from this movie? Like, what's this like adventurous spirit that I'm getting inside me as I'm watching this? And I was like, well, if I can't get that in real life of like being Indiana Jones, maybe I can create that same spirit for someone else to like encounter. And so when I was really little, my brother and I just grabbed my dad's VHS camera and started making short films and just little goofy, stupid videos. And it's really funny because the films that we shot, so we had that VHS camera and made me do it. We have flashbacks that we shot on VHS to give them a nasty texture to them. And we used the same VHS camera that my brother and I shot our original short films on, like little stupid things, to film the flashbacks for my first narrative feature film. So it was kind of a fun little, like, I don't know, coming back to what we had started doing in a way. But yeah, it just, I don't know, it was just very inspiring. I think a big thing for me is like telling stories of redemption through film. Like, I think you look at the hero's journey, I think you look at like our kind of human spirit and the movies that succeed, and it's like, I think we definitely love stories that have redemption. Like, I think we're attracted to that as like a human race. It's like, we want redemption, we yearn for redemption. And so trying to create stories that have like take us on a hard journey, but ultimately lead to redemption is something that I am like hugely passionate about. And so everything I do, I try to have, like, even I did, my first film was a documentary about an actor kind of who lost his family pursuing his dream. He became an alcoholic. It was a very rough, hard film. And it didn't necessarily lead to like a full redemption at the end, but there was a bit of a change in understanding of what he'd done in his life and what he'd sacrificed and feeling the weight of that. And so not that everything needs to be like happy-go-lucky, but I love this like kind of digging through the trenches and putting the characters through hell before getting to that kind of point of redemption. When there's, and I just love, like, I think Pixar does the best job at it, honestly, of like in Toy Story 3, you know, the toys are falling down into this pit of fire. And they all are grabbing arms together as they're about to fall down into this junk pit of fire, and there's no hope left, and everything is lost. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, these three little aliens come around with a claw, and they pull them out and save them. And so I just love that idea of, like, when there's no hope left, when everything is lost, something happens that you just would never have expected, and it saves the day and creates redemption. So that's something that I continue to try to figure out. How do I like master that or try to share that in a better way or create a new, more unique way of showing redemption through film?
If you were to pick a single film that captures that story of redemption, which film would it be?
Oh gosh, that's tricky, man. Think for a second. What do I cry at? What do I cry at, Chris, when I watch? I gotta think.
It looked like you were crying on one of those videos you put on Facebook recently.
Oh, yes, yes. No, I love Stranger Things. I thought Stranger Things is a great example, too, of, like, I don't want to spoil anything. I'll be careful here. But let's just say there's a sacrificial character that saves the day. And it's like, you just see it, like, within filmmaking that I think, I don't know, I've seen a lot of, like, short films recently that have come from different, like, film students and stuff. And a lot of them are, like, kind of like, here, let's just take a section of life that's bad, and we're just going to experience like a bad, hard section of life with no hope, and it's just like kind of a slice of life short film, basically. And you just kind of watch those, and you feel empty in the end, because it's just like, you know, if I want to see a guy just like doing drugs and sleeping with people, I could go watch, you know, anything out there, but I, like, help me find, like, let me care for this character, let me follow an arc with this character, and kind of follow them on the journey. Not that everything needs to end happy, like, even like Black Swan is a good example of a film that doesn't end happy, but it's like kind of have me care for these characters and follow them on a journey. I'm trying to think of a good one that has redemption recently that I really gravitated towards. I know like one that I do love that was a few years back is the remake of Evil Dead. It's like really, I can't remember who directed it, but yeah, it's the remake of Evil Dead. And you have this character that gets possessed and she does all these awful, terrible things. And then there's a point of redemption where she kind of changes, it comes back, and saves the day, basically. And I just love it when it's like you take these villains or these people that are extremely dark, and they reach a point of redemption, and that point of redemption is what's kind of saves the day. So yeah, the remake of Evil Dead was a good one that I remember. I like teared up, man, when that happened.
Do you think horror as a genre is more open to these kind of redemptive stories? Or do you think that redemption is only for drama or other kind of more serious genres?
No. I definitely think that some of the best horror films that I know and love have redemption within them. And so I think that it's something that can fit within any genre. And like even like another one that I like, again, it goes along with Disney, but it's like Wreck-It Ralph had a point where like Ralph sacrifices himself to like save everybody. And it's like every time that happens, it kills me. Yeah, I think horror does a really good job of having those redemptive moments as well. Like, I'm a huge fan of George Romero's films and all of his zombie movies. And the big character, Bub, is a zombie in, it's in Day of the Dead. There's a zombie named Bub that can kind of like think and feel and has more emotion. And it's not so much a redemption element, but I love this idea of, within that film, you see that the zombies are maybe a little less awful than the humans. And so we see that there's this awful kind of human nature within the humans, that they're doing terrible things to each other, treating each other awful. And you have this one zombie that can sort of like think and feel. And so he starts to like have like a fatherly almost emotion to this like mad scientist that's been kind of teaching him and growing him. And when that scientist gets killed, Bub has this like huge emotional moment. And it's like, that's one of those points where I'm just like, man, like you've created this relationship where this doctor has kind of redeemed a zombie in a way. And then you've killed you've killed the scientist, the mentor. And then you have this moment where the zombie just kind of breaks down. And so you've like, in one fell swoop, kind of redeemed like zombies for me. And so now every time that you're like shooting a zombie or stabbing them in the head, I'm like, I can't just be okay with this, because I've seen Bub, and Bub has this emotion and this love for somebody, this like father and son love for somebody. So every time you're stabbing and shooting a zombie, I can't just be like, oh, they're just a monster anymore. And so it kind of just flips that whole like dichotomy on its head in a way.
So kind of bringing the conversation to you and the work that you do, what is your biggest struggle as a filmmaker? And how does redemption, that theme of redemption, fit into that struggle?
Ooh, that's really good. I think one of the biggest struggles as a filmmaker, I mean, from a very simple standpoint, is just finding funding for films and getting connected with people and just helping them see your vision. I feel like I've been out in LA for 10 years now, and I feel like the biggest thing that I've learned is it's like, you don't, at least for me, I don't want to beg people to want to work with me. I want to find a group of people that have a similar spirit that I can collaborate with and not feel like I'm like begging them to be a part of what I'm doing. Because I feel like so much you see out in LA and in the industries, it's these people, a lot of people that talk and don't actually do. As someone who's actually doing and trying to get stuff done, I want to find other people that are inspired to make work and get things done, as opposed to like, hey, where's my paycheck? And hey, you know, what's going on here? Hey, I have this script that I've written, but I've never actually finished it. You know, it's like, I want to find a group of people who's actually made content, and let's get together as a group of creatives and get rid of the ego, get rid of this is how much I need to be paid for every little thing, get rid of all that stuff. Not that you don't take care of your collaborators, but it's like, find a team that is in it for the project. I feel like it's what we did with Made Me Do It, is we had 30 people on the shoot, and everyone was really inspired by what we were doing. And it was more than just a job. It was like coming in and being excited that we were creating a piece of art that we could be proud of. And I think so many times out here, you're just taking jobs just to get a paycheck. And so it's like, I don't want to do that with the teams that I build. I don't want to build teams that's just, hey, you're here to get a paycheck. I want to build a team that's like, hey guys, let's work together as a team to create a piece of art that we're proud of at the end of the day.
How do you stay motivated in those times where maybe the collaborators are few and far between, or the ideas aren't coming? You know, how do you stay motivated?
This might sound cheesy, but my wife, Kristen, she's been a producer on like all of my projects. And she is not like, she didn't go to film school or anything. She's just always helped on my films. And she is a huge motivator in helping like keep me going. Like, I know with Made Me Do It, we had some post-production issues with sound that took a while to resolve. And I remember just like, I think we were on like draft 8 of the sound. And I just like at one point just like started crying, because I'm like, Kristen, like, I have worked so hard to try to get this sound in a good place, and it just is still not clicking. Like, why is this so hard? And so she just like was like, okay, like, because she's more the practical one and I'm the emotional one. She's like, okay, if this isn't working, let's come up with a game plan of how to fix it. Like, how can we do it better? Like, instead of trying to rehash the same thing over and over, what can we do differently? And so she's just that, like, why I'm the creative, more emotional one, she's that more logical-minded person. And so when I come to her with issues and problems, she helps kind of come up with game plans of how do we solve this that are practical, as opposed to just like freaking out and abandoning something. And so that's something that's really, she just always keeps me moving, which is just awesome. But as far as like motivation and ideas, I don't know, dude, it's really hard because I know a lot of people struggle with coming up with new concepts, but I love it, man. Like I have so many thoughts in my head that I'm just like ready to go on things. And it's just, I think it's just the way that I'm wired. That's like, you know, recently I did, there was a horror website that hired us to do 15-second horror films for their website. And so we produced two of them. And it was just like such a fun experience of like, okay, we have these barriers of, it's like a very low budget, extremely cheap, and we have 15 seconds to make some, like tell a story. And so it's a really cool experience of like, give me these cool boundaries, like build the sandbox for me of what we're allowed to do and what we can't do, and then let me be creative within that sandbox and figure out what we can do. And so we came up with about six pitches that we were really stoked about, and they picked two of them, and we produced them just a couple weeks ago, and I'm pretty excited about how they turned out. But yeah, as far as like motivation and ideas, like I feel like I get inspired all the time by all sorts of different things, whether it's art, movies, TV shows, books. Like I just get excited about everything, I feel like.
Well, I think too that's very encouraging to hear, because there is that spectrum of people out there that some it really struggle with inspiration and some it just comes naturally to them. And I think hearing from someone who it comes naturally is very encouraging and inspiring at the same time.
Yeah, and I think even going along with that, like I feel like a lot of people wait to be inspired before doing something, as opposed to starting to do something and finding the inspiration within that. Like I know a lot of filmmaker people who will write scripts, for instance, that are, it's the same with like having boundaries. Like they'll write a script and they're like, yeah, you know, I'm trying to make my first short film for $1 million and it takes place in the Civil War with aliens. And you're like, well, okay, that's like, I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer, but you're probably not going to find funding to make something crazy like that for your first film. So it's like, come up with a list of, like, this is how we did our film and how we've done a lot of our stuff. It's like, let's come up with a list of locations that we know we can get for free. Then let's come up with the type of characters we want to make. And then let's use that and, like, what kind of story we want to tell, what genre. And then let's use that kind of list of stuff that we have, like, already at our fingertips and build a good story within that. I think so often creative people like to wait until they have the biggest budget in the world or everything they thought they could ever want. And it's like, well, no, like, just go start making something and you never know what that thing will then lead to. Or like if you're a writer, just sit down and start writing. Like what are you inspired by? What kind of characters are you wanting to bring out? And just start writing down an outline or breaking down some characters and then allow that to help you build the story. As opposed to just sitting around waiting for inspiration to strike.
Very practical. I appreciate that, because one of the things that I strive to do with this podcast is really have actionable things and actionable takeaways so that it's not just all this theoretical stuff going on. What are you most proud of?
There's a scene in Made Me Do It that is it's a scene that we shot on 35 millimeter film, 16 millimeter film, 8 millimeter film, VHS, and 8 millimeter tape. And it's a scene where a character is dancing in his underwear and then he starts like beating kind of a bully. I don't know. I just feel like that one scene encompasses like who I am as a filmmaker in a way, like how I want to be portrayed or things that I'm inspired by. Like I've always been inspired by like all of Tony Scott's stuff, like Man on Fire and Domino. That's just like insane. And I absolutely love Oliver Stone's Natural Born Killers. That's just nuts. And so it's like these things, this like very abstract, surreal filmmaking I absolutely love. And I've tried to like create that in different like tricks, I feel like, throughout the films that I've made and the projects I've done. And this was like the one time that we were actually able to like get the equipment and shoot on the film and like use the camera that like does, you know, the Tony Scott camera that does the craziness. And so I just remember getting like the dailies back from the 35 millimeter that we shot, because we did like, we'd shoot a roll at like a piece of it and then we'd cap the camera and wind it and then shoot another take of the scene. So you'd have these double, triple crazy images over each other. And I remember getting that footage back and just being so ecstatic that it's like, I finally got to do this thing that I've always wanted to do, like ever since I've seen like Domino and Man on Fire and all those. Like I've always wanted to do crazy stuff like that. So I'm pretty proud of that scene. It's one of the things that I'm just like, I'm very stoked on.
And what's awesome is the pride comes out as you're talking about it. And because I've seen that scene as well, you know, it's just, when you hear filmmakers talk about their work in almost a positive sense, and that excitement, and you see that reflected in the work as well.
Awesome. Good.
What advice would you give to filmmakers starting out? I mean, you've given a lot of great advice this entire interview, but is there any specific advice that you would give to anyone starting out?
You know, I just read a really good article. I can't remember. I'll see if I can track it down and maybe send it to you. But it just talked about how directors direct, and they don't wait around for people to tell them to direct. They don't wait around for funding. They go and they make stuff. And it said, like, a director is only good as his demo reel. And so I really love that idea of filmmakers make films. They don't wait around for people to give them permission. They don't wait around for a location to give them permission. They grab a camera. They can grab whatever they have with it in their hands or with their hands, and they go and they make something. And I just feel like that is the biggest thing that you can do as a filmmaker or an artist, is it's like, if you're going to run a marathon, you have to train to run a marathon to get to that place that you can run it and win it. And so it's like, as a filmmaker or an artist or a creative, we have to do the same thing of stretching our muscles. And we can't do that by sitting around talking about writing something. I've had so many people come to me and they're like, yeah, you know, I have this idea for a script. And I'm like, well, okay, like, let me check it out. Oh, I haven't written it yet. I haven't written the treatment yet. I haven't written anything. I have an idea. Or like, oh, I'm working on the script. Oh, well, can I take a look at that? Oh, well, it's not really in script form yet. And it's like, until you actually sit down and do the work, in my opinion, you're not a filmmaker until you go make films. Or you're not a writer until you go sit down and write. Because I feel like anyone can sit down and like come up with a concept, but it takes discipline to actually sit down and make it happen. Like when we were doing Made Me Do It, I was still working at FearNet. And so I'd work an 8-hour day, and then I'd come home and I'd have dinner with my wife, and then I'd lock myself in my office and I would write for a good 4 hours. And then the next day I'd do the same thing. And the next day I'd do the same thing. When you're actually sitting there doing it, that's when you're actually a filmmaker. But when you're just sitting around talking about it, it's hard for me to consider you a filmmaker when you're just talking about making films. So I would just say, get out there and go do it. If you're a writer, sit down and start writing something. Like, don't be afraid of, oh, is this the perfect idea? It's like, just go write and go make, because you never know what's coming out, like, going to happen. Like, what is the film? Tangerine came out, I want to say, last year or 2 years ago, and they shot it all on iPhones. And I know that that's a very, like, niche example of a film, but it's like, who knows, man? Go make a movie with an iPhone and see what you can do with it. And that may not be the film that like breaks you in or makes you your big break, but it's like that grows you in a way, because you're getting the experience and you're working that muscle as a creative. So I just think my biggest advice is just work that muscle as a creative, like go make stuff and do stuff.
Amen. That's all there's really to say about that. What is your dream? What is your pie in the sky, the thing that you're working towards every day?
You know, I think the big dream for me is just to... I'd love to have a production company where we can continue to make feature films. And they don't have to be huge budget things. I want to be able to tell good stories. And I feel like that's something that like lately I've been really like confronted with, is I've been like pushing to like reread a story instead of just diving into stuff, like making sure scripts are in a good place and really investing the time in that in pre-production. But I would love to have a production company where I can write and direct films. And then I know a ton of young, talented filmmakers. So I would love to have funding where I could fund projects for other people. Because like, for instance, I have like this intern kid that is like a high school kid. And he wants to be a filmmaker. And he's done a couple short films. I recently went to one of his little short film sets. And it was freaking adorable. It was like these high school kids all coming together, just making like a little short film that was pretty serious and had some pretty deep things it was saying. And just like watching that, I was like, man, I would love just to like have like 50 grand where I could just say, hey, high school kid, here's 50 grand, go make a feature film. Or like finding different filmmakers and just throwing some money to other filmmakers and being like, guys, like, let's like get together and make projects and just consistently make things, as opposed to like me just doing one-off stuff. Like, I love that idea. Like, when we talk about collaboration, I would just love the idea of finding other like-minded artists that care about the content they create and trying to like collaborate together and like find funding for these other people to make films as well. Ultimately though, I want to direct and write and just tell good stories.
So what's next for you?
That's a good question. We have, since we wrapped up Made Me Do It, hopefully, we'll be screening it in a couple of weeks, and we'll see if you have any more audio tweaks. Then after that, we will consider it wrapped and start submitting it to festivals and see how that does. We're not counting on that film making money before we start on the next one. So we have two other concepts that we're working on right now. That I have one in script form, and that needs probably two more drafts on. And it's a post-apocalyptic comedy. It's kind of in the vein of like a Hot Fuzz kind of thing. And then we have another horror film. It's like a horror thriller film that'd be a really low budget one that has kind of a fun concept that we're trying to get off the ground. So both of them are, one of them is one that we could fund ourselves just with credit cards like we did Made Me Do It. And then the other one is one that we'd have to like search for funding for. So basically by the end of the year, I want to have scripts for both of those and like investor packets ready to go to start trying to find funding for them.
Awesome. Very inspiring. Where can people find out more about you and your work?
There's a great website built for me by the wonderful Chris Martin. If you go to benjamincoppin.com, you can see my work there. Otherwise, I'm just like on Facebook and all that with updates on things that I'm doing.
Excellent. Thank you so much for your time, Ben. Anything else you want to add before we end?
I don't think so, man. Thanks so much for having me on. I really appreciate this.
You bet. That does it for this episode of Getting Work to Work. A huge thank you to Ben Coppin for taking time out of his busy day to talk with me about how he gets his work to work. I hope you found it inspirational and encouraging for getting your work to work. I would appreciate it if you would share this podcast with your friends and leave me a review on iTunes, letting me know how this podcast is going for you. If you need to get a hold of me, I'm chris@chrismartinstudios.com, or I'm available on social networks at CM Studios or at GWTW Podcast on Twitter, at CM Studios on Instagram, or at Chris Martin Studios on Facebook. Stay connected with Chris Martin Studios by signing up for my newsletter at thecuriositylab.net. Now get out there and get to work.